Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Kathy Holloway Hill, and Mr. Tony Lamont is on the line. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great this evening.
That's wonderful. This is going to be such an exciting show tonight. I am so pumped and ready. And I know my listeners are pumped and ready, too. We have Mr. Howard Hewitt. Oh, this is going to be so exciting. I know everyone is so anxious to get to Howard this evening. I'm really, really excited about this, and I just want to give you all a little bit of taste of what you're going to be talking to and who you're going to be talking to this evening.
It's got to be real. Girl, I could write a book on how you make me feel. Yeah. I know I'll never find, baby, another who could match. Love you giving to me.
I know you're anxious, but Tony and I just want to kind of give you a brief rundown of some of the upcoming show topics, as we always do each week. And next week, we're going to be talking to New York Times bestselling author J.L. King, who came on the scene on the Oprah Winfrey Show with his blockbuster book On the Down Low. And J.L. will be here to discuss his take on why HIV cases are on the rise among the African-American community. I just heard Tony this morning that one out of every two new cases?
Right. One out of every two new cases in the African-American community are being affected. And if the African-American community in the United States was considered a country, it would be the third largest country of new AIDS cases, just behind two countries in Africa.
Oh, wow. That is just really staggering. So, yeah, we're gonna talk to JL next week, and I'm really looking forward to that, to just try to get a handle on what may be going on. We know some things that may be going on, but I'm staggered by that. And then the following week, we'll be talking to Julie Christensen, who will be here to talk about the dangers of allowing your temper to get out of control. We know how that can happen. The topic on that show is anger management. And then the following week, we will be talking to Miss Victoria Rao, who is the poster child for foster parenting, and she's also a TV and film star, and she is very passionate about the topic of foster parenting because of her childhood and her upbringing, so I'm really excited about that show as well. So, with that, I know you guys are very anxious to get to our guest this evening. I just want to take just a couple of seconds here, though, to tell you first that Howard Hewitt is one of the nicest, most genuine individuals I have ever met. I have met a lot of celebrities in my day, but Howard has to be one of the most down-to-earth, kind-hearted people I know. He's just a wonderful soul. He's very spiritual, and that's one of the traits that I truly admire about him, and his spirit just comes through in his music, and I think he is just so wonderful. And he's on the line here, and I'm going to bring him on. Mr. Hewitt, are you there?
See, you have me blushing over here, Kathy.
Oh, well, you deserve to be blushing.
That got me blushing. I'm like, okay, all right, well, that's good. That's beautiful. I'm glad that's how you feel. I just try and be, you know what, I try and treat people the way I would want to be treated.
Exactly.
I think that's the most important thing that you can.
Exactly. Yeah, and you are, Howard. I mean, it comes across in your music. You are just so genuine and spiritual, and that's why everybody loves you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your music is wonderful. You have a tremendous legacy of music. And, Howard, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont.
Hey, what's up, Tony? How you doing?
How you doing? Good to talk to you again. And I have to agree with Kathy, because I've had an opportunity in my career to interview you quite a few times when you come through the city of Indianapolis doing shows or
worked
for TLC for years, so I've had an opportunity to meet you. And out of all the people that I meet, I mean, you come across as being the kind of individual who loves not only what he does, but he loves the people that he does it for.
Yeah.
And that's so very important when you're a performer, and being in the business as long as I have, you're able to see the ones that are pretending and the ones that are genuine. And I have to say that all the time that I've met you, all the times I've had an opportunity of interviewing you, you are truly a genuine human being and a great performer. So I'm just happy that you agreed to be on the show, because it's going to give people an opportunity really to see who Howard Hewitt really is.
I remember you from Indianapolis. I always had a great time at TLC in Indianapolis. You know, always had a great time there. Yeah.
Hey, Howard, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I've got a lot of people in the chat room, and they're listening in from their PC. They're saying they can't hear you. Do you have a volume control on your phone?
They're saying they can't hear me? All right.
Do you have a volume control?
Yeah, but it's up as high as it'll go.
Oh, okay. Well, we're good. We're good.
Are we good now?
I think so.
I'll take that soft voice off. I'll talk louder now.
Well, you know what? And I've always said, because now Tony knows how I am, because I talk to Tony a lot about my taste and my desires in music, and I've always thought you had not only a great singing voice, but I think you have a great talking voice as well.
Thank you, Sam.
I gotta
keep you around with me all the time. You just
You know I'm one of your number one fans. I'm one of your number one fans. I think your babies are probably your biggest fans, though, and which,
yeah,
I'd like to know how they're doing. How is the family doing?
They're doing great. Everybody's doing really good. You know, my oldest is 29 now. She just turned 29, and she has a my granddaughter who just turned 9 yesterday.
Oh.
And then her sister is 27. You know, Rainey's 27 now. My stepson, who I've known since he was 10 years old, and that's my boy. You know, but he's 25 now. And
wow.
Then my other boy is 19. And then my baby here at the house is Anissa. She's 12.
Oh.
So you know, we all have a good time. Everybody else is out, you know, doing their thing. The only one left here at the house is Anissa.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that says that the whole parenting thing ends when they're 18, 19 years old, that's crazy, because my 29-year-old still comes to me for all kind of stuff. I got to sit down and say, okay, what's happening? What's going on? What's happening? You know, and it's a beautiful thing, though. I love it. I love
Well, Tony can attest to that because. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
When he said
the 29-year-old, I was like, okay, yeah, I know that's right.
Yeah, because I was getting ready. I can co-sign with you because I've got a 28 and a 26-year-old. And, yeah, it is a blessing because they still are connected. And sometimes you sit back and you take a look at it and you go, wow, you know, they're never going to be gone. But it's a good thing that they'll never be gone because it makes you feel good and keeps you connected because family is so important.
Exactly. I mean,
that's
you
nice.
Do, you thank God that they're, you know, because when my kids left, you know, none of them have ever come back, which is like, great. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and they're out doing their thing, and that means that we have done like what we're supposed to do, which is to, you know, raise, you know, responsible adults, and you know that can, you know, go out there in the world and be in the world but not of the world, as they say, and deal and be really responsible and living their life and living their lives and stuff. So, I'm real happy about that. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Well, Howard, we're going to go ahead and start going to the phones because I know our listeners are just chomping at the bit to try to get to you and you know, make a statement or a comment or tell you how much they love you. So I'm going to bring on area code 260. You're on the line. Can you hear me?
Hey, Kathy. This is Cafe. How are you?
Hi, Cafe. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about your show tonight.
Oh, we're all excited. We are all excited, and you just say whatever you want to say, and just
well,
it's your moment.
Well,
within reason.
I know. I'm only kidding. Where's 260? Where is that?
260 is in Indiana.
Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. I just left Chicago last. Well, Chicago, Illinois, so, yeah.
Okay. Well, my question for you, Howard, is over the years, the music industry has changed so much, and it's totally different now versus when, you know, when you were in Shalimar. Back then, I would have to say that a lot of artists were really, you know, they really focused on their craft, and they were really good entertainers and singers. What are your thoughts on the music industry today, and where do you see the true artists such as yourself in the future regarding R&B?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and a lot of people always ask that because of the way things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And R&B has gone through so many so many different changes through the years. I remember a friend of mine, I was in the studio with a friend of mine, he said, well, R&B nowadays stands for replaced by, you know, because it's been replaced, everything has been, it's been replaced by everything else, but, you know, we still have to stand strong on certain things and keep, you know, keep the situation flowing, and it's interesting that the differences between, you know, back in the day and now, and there's so many, there's a lot of different things that are happening, changes that are taking place, and they're continuing to take place all the time, and because like back in the day, I've seen both spectrums of the whole situation. Like Cafe said just a minute ago, you know, back in the day was such a creative time, and it was, you know, you were so, you know, everybody was about creativity. Everybody was about being individuals. You know, like when you heard certain people, you knew that's who that was. You know, it wasn't guessing. Like nowadays, everybody sounds like everybody else, you know. But you know, also back in the day, one of the crazy things was like, you know, it was about creativity. Like you had a lot of cats that would say, you know, I'm all about the creativity. Don't talk to me about any business. I got a manager. I got an attorney. I got an accountant. They're dealing with that. Don't I'm about creating my craft and this and well, you know, unfortunately a lot of those guys now are broke. They didn't take care of their business. You know, they didn't take care of the financial part of their situation, which is called the music business, you know. And then you fast forward to now, where in this day and age with the Puffies and all that, those type of things, you know, it's like now it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. So
yeah.
Now the creativity is lacking. You know what I'm saying? So somewhere, you know, now I believe that, you know, on that business creative side, you have to find that happy medium where you're taking care of your business and you're respecting what has allowed you to have business in the first place. And, you know, that's the music, and that's the creativity of the music and stuff. There's so many things now that I think are so beneficial and so positive for an artist if that artist is able to take off that old school hat and put on that entrepreneurial hat and take advantage of some of the things. Like right now, you know, I would never even think about going to a major record company unless they were giving me something that, you know, I mean, some serious, serious commitment. I mean, even as far as money is concerned, they don't have to give me money because thank God I can go out and make money, you know, and they never give me money because nobody gives you anything. You end up having to pay that back anyway. So, you know, it's like I can go out and I can make money, but if a major record company gave me major, major commitment, that would be the only value of a major record company to myself as an artist right now. But right now it's like, you know, I'd rather do my thing. There are so many different ways to market your product now. There's with the internet, with, you know, you do a, as far as a video is concerned, you can put it on YouTube, and YouTube gives you more exposure than any of these you know, video TV shows and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's amazing right now what you can do, how you can expose your music at this point in this day and age. And it's not going to get any less. It's going to get more, and it's going to get more. But you have to be able to take off, like I said, that take off that old school hat and put on that entrepreneurial hat and do your thing.
Right.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Howard, speaking on that, talk a little bit about how that transition has been for you, because you mentioned old school and now that entrepreneurial side of things, and the artistic side of you does what it does. But now you've had to do, and you started to become what the A&R folks used to do for you, what the record companies used to do for you, and now you're able to do those kinds of things yourself. Talk a little bit about how that transition has been for you.
Well, it's been really exciting for me. I mean, I remember the last album that I did for Elektra when I was with Elektra, and there's a good friend of mine, this cat Jay King, who's used to be with Club Nouveau, you know, and he's been doing the independent thing for years and years, and he was talking to me, you know, before I even left Elektra, about the whole independent system and stuff. And I mean, just the word sounded so good to me. You know what I'm saying? Just the word independent. You're independent. You know, you don't have the major record company bureaucracy bull crap like hanging over your head, and an A&R guy talking about that doesn't have a clue as to what you're about. You know, trying to tell you which direction you should take your project, you know, and so, you know, you're independent, you know, and for me it was just a really good, like a breath of fresh air. Like when I did the It's Time album, you know, that was the first independent album, and it had stuff on there called like a Love of Your Own, you know, that you guys played the cover of the Average White Band cover. And also the remake of For the Lover in You, also This Love's Forever, Say Goodbye, all kind of stuff, you know, that was just, it was like I said, it was like a breath of fresh air. So, you know, I the whole transition with that, it took a minute for me to get, you know, not too long, but a minute for me to get out of that, you know, spoiled, that spoiled type of mentality where everything was taken care of for you, you know, and then you get into the whole, you know, thing where you're taking care of, you have to stay on top of this. I have to stay on top of, you know, what we're doing marketing wise and this and that and that and this, you know, probably should have stayed on top of it more, even when I was with Elektra. But, you know, when I first started recording, I guess I was about 23, 24 years old. So you really don't look at a lot of stuff like that. But the transition's been great. It's been smooth. It's been, you know, because I think I am that type of hands-on type of person. You know, my manager complains about that all the time because I need to know everything. I need to know exactly what's going on. Don't try and sugarcoat it. You know, I'm a big boy. I can take that. I can take, you know, I know everybody doesn't like me. So, you know, I can take that whole thing. So just tell me the truth and tell me what we're doing, and we can deal from that point.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and open the mic of another one of our callers that is just really jumping up and down. Wendy, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Kathy. Yes, I am. I'm so excited.
I know you don't know. I know you love Howard. We all love
him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was in love with this man from afar when I was a teenager. I mean, Well, Howard, let me tell you, dear, I was in love with you, okay? I wanted to marry you and everything. I had to find me a boyfriend that looked similar to you, okay? Because I was not satisfied with not having you, okay? My heart is about to jump out my chest. I'm trying to calm down. But I just want to say congratulations on all your years of success and the legacy that you have left us from Shalimar all the way down to when you went solo. I have followed you all the way throughout. I'm an avid fan. I always will be. I want to know if you're going on tour. And if you are, I will be there. I'm in the New York area, so you come this way, watch out, because I'm coming after you.
I'm actually going to be in Roswell, New York. I don't know. Where is that? Where is Roswell, New York? It must be up.
I have no idea.
But I'll be there.
I have no idea.
I'll be there, I think, the 8th of August, I think it is. I'm going to have the calendar right in front of me. But, yeah, the 8th of August. And I love coming. You're near the New York City area?
I'm in New York City. Yeah, I'm in New York City. And I'm just in love. I know you're married, so I can't take you.
That's very sweet. I appreciate that.
Well, I tell you what, we're having a meet and greet. I'm giving a big formal meet and greet in Washington, D.C. next year, June 19th through the 21st. Now, I'll give the information to Kathy to pass on to you. I would love to have you as a guest.
I'd love to come. I'd love to come hang out with you.
Send that information to me. Go ahead.
I definitely will. I will.
But Wendy, when I am in New York, you know, New York City, I think I have to go there for a private thing. I think I'm not sure, but when I am in New York, you know, definitely I would love for you to definitely hook up and let me know that you're there, and I can give you that hug. You know, that hug.
Oh, please.
Waiting for
years, 20-something years. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to pass all my personal information to Kathy, and she will give it to you. I'll email it to her, and she will pass it to you, and I can't wait to meet you.
Great.
Thank
you,
Wendy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you for your comment. That was very sweet.
Thank you.
Bless her heart. You could almost hear her breathing hard. Okay, go ahead, Howard.
I appreciate that so much because that's what the whole thing's about. I mean, you're making music and stuff, and you want to know that your music is connecting with people out there, because as a writer, I mean, it's, you know, I'm putting my heart and my feelings and my emotions out there on my sleeve, on my shirt sleeve, and so, you know, it's for everybody to see and for everybody to comment on and for everybody to have an opinion about, and you know, to know that, you know, people really dig it and people really connect with it, and people can really, and it can, you know, I mean, I realize that there are people like Wendy out there friends. I hate to call them fans. You know, they're friends, mm-hmm. that have been listening to the music for forever. And if they're like anything like my wife chronologizes her life by music. You know, it's like she can hear a song and tell you exactly what was going on in her life at that time.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
And it was really funny after we got married, you know, and she moved in and I was in the office one time and just kind of playing stuff and playing music and you know, kind of piddling around the office and stuff, and then she came in and I put this song on that that Stanley Clark and I did a long time ago called Fantasy Love, you
mm-hmm.
know, and she was like, oh, I remember when this and that was going on in this song and when this song came, and then she stopped. She said, wait, she said, that's you, right? And I said, yeah, that's me. And then she asked the fateful question, you know, which was, who did you write that for? And I had to change the subject then.
Well, yeah.
Had to change the subject then. It's like, no, you don't ask those kind of questions. That's like, those are off-limit questions.
But you know, Howard, and I'm going to get back to my callers here in a minute, but I just have to say this. And now, Tony, you can attest to this. I am very, very picky about who I like as a singer, because there are some icons in the music business that I just don't like them. I like, and you know, Tony, I know you're silent, but you know that's true.
I'm just waiting for you to finish so I can make my comment about it.
I like who I like, and because, you know, I have debates with many people about, I'm not going to name because that's not fair, but there are so many icons, and I don't get it. I don't understand why everybody thinks it's so fabulous, because I don't. But when it comes to you, Howard, and I know you're probably going to blush again, when it comes to you, honey, you could sing the phone book.
You know, but you know, that and that in that whole sense, and I know that everybody, because people have said that all the time, and I appreciate that. I love the fact that they really connect with vocally the sound, the whole thing, but that can also be something as far as creatively and choosing songs and the whole thing, that can be a dangerous thing, because the song might not be a great song, but the artist may be able to convey it in a great way, but that is like cool for a minute, but once you start like listening to it, the song also has to stand up. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, I think you could probably take a song that was a loser and make it an absolute hit, because you have that kind of silky, smooth, once-in-a-lifetime voice. And I'm serious. Once-in-a-lifetime. There has never, ever, and will never in the future be another Howard Hewitt.
You know, and I thank you for that. And like I said, because for me, that's what it was all about back in the day. It was like, you know, okay, you know, I went through my period of where I wanted to sound like Stevie, and
oh God,
you know, I wanted to sound like Marvin, you know, I wanted to sound like Donny Hathaway. But you know, when I was about 14, 15 years old, you know, I started thinking about it, and I said, well, the things that make these guys unique is the fact that they are unique.
Right.
So what I need to do is figure out my thing, Howard Hewitt, you know, what's going to make Howard Hewitt unique. And I take all those influences that I love, Marvin, the Stevie, the Donnie, all those guys, and just kind of wrap it up and then sprinkle, you know, Howard Hewitt in there. And you know, I said at some point, you know, I want to hear somebody say, I want to sound like Howard Hewitt, you know.
Oh, trust me, I'm sure that has happened in the industry. Trust me, I know it has. Do you remember how we met?
We met at.
You don't have to tell. You don't have to say. I'm just asking. All you have to say is yes or no.
Yes, I remember how we met.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just curious.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go to another line. Let's go to another caller. Okay, area code 860. You're on the line.
Oh, hello. Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. This is my first time listening to your show. I love the show, so. And I love Howard Hewitt. I love you.
I love you too.
And I asked you for my favorite, so I'm tuning into other shows too. But Howard, I loved you ever since I was a little girl listening to you, and I'm looking to be a writer, and I have my book out now, and I remember you saying you write songs and everything. So I just have two questions. Are you thinking about writing a book? And second, can you check out my book?
I'd love to check out your book. You can send it to Kathy or something. She can get it.
Right.
And the other question, a lot of people have approached me about that, writing a book and putting my memoirs, as they say, to pen and paper. And I've written some stuff that I keep in certain places, like in my computer, and ideas and stuff like that. And I think that would be coming. That would be coming pretty soon. I just have to figure out exactly what I would want to call it, or what I would want to reveal, I guess. Because if you do one of those kind of like revelation books, man, you gotta reveal stuff that's like, whoa, I don't know, kind of crazy, but I mean, if you're gonna be honest about certain things, you have to be honest all the way. And I don't know, I think, but I do believe, I do feel that the book project is coming pretty soon.
Well, that's good. I was going to just say, let me go ahead and give you my email, actually, for everyone that's listening. If you want to email me, Kathy, that's with a C,
okay.
C-A-T-H-Y, at C Holloway Hill, and that's spelled CHOLLOWAYHILL.com.
All right. Yeah, I would love to check out your book, in the future, hopefully, And my book's called Never Judge Life by Its Cover.
That's great.
Never Judge Life by Its Cover.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And I self-published the book because, the literary agency, how you get rejected and all that. So, I went, for myself and just trying to get it out there and Oprah's pretty big, so, just trying to get on. Maybe one day, I don't know,
right.
Get on her show. But
and caller, I really hate to cut you off, but we have so many other callers. I want to try to make sure I give everybody an opportunity to at least say hi to Howard.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But we really appreciate you calling in. Please, please, please email me and give me whatever information you'd like to get to Howard, and I'll make sure that he gets it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And I'm going to ask everyone that's listening, I mean, I know everybody's anxious to get to Howard, but I want to try to get in as many people as I can to at least make a comment or say something to Howard so that we won't run out of time. So I'm going to bring area code 502 on the line. Area code 502, can you hear me?
We know.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear
you. Oh, that's great. I am so excited. Howard?
How are you? What's your name?
My name is Marissa.
Marissa, how are you doing, Marissa?
Yes, I met you about 5 years ago. You probably don't remember. You were in Louisville, Kentucky at a 100 Black Men's Ball. And, you were just so wonderful. And I just want you to know that I just hope you keep on keeping on strong. And just like Wendy, my heart is all a flutter. You're so gorgeous. And your wife is a very, very lucky lady. I wish the industry would have more R&B music that is more popular now versus the rap. It's not that I have anything against that, but I miss more R&B music, the romantic music so much, the kind of music that you used to have and bring. And your voice is like none other, like Kathy said. I just love you to death. And one more question, wondering when you may be coming to Louisville again.
And I'm not sure. I love coming to Louisville. That's where I first met Kathy in Louisville, right? Yep.
That's
so.
Right.
And I think last time I was there, I was thinking it was for the Derby, but I think I've been there.
Well, it was Derby related. It was a ball. It was called 100 Black Men Ball.
Right. Right.
But that's not the last time you was here. You was here for a Thanksgiving event.
Yeah,
okay.
A Thanksgiving thing. I was there, but I'm not sure. Nothing's on the books right now for Kentucky, but you know that changes all the time.
Hello, Howard. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we're having problems with our line right now. We may have actually flooded. We may have flooded the switchboard. So you know. So Howard, we're trying to get Kathy. Kathy is talking to the technical people, but the two of us can hear each other right now. So one thing I want to ask you for those folks that can hear us again is you were talking about your writing, and in talking about your writing, what are some of the inspirations, some of the things that have encouraged you in your writing and get you to the point where you feel like this is something I have to put on paper and get out there for folks to hear?
Well, you know what, for me it's basically kind of not so much like a thing where I'm sitting and I'm saying, oh man, I gotta write about this. It's more or less I just let life happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of let it kind of flow as far as my writing is concerned, and what inspires me a lot of times are the music, is the music. What the music makes me feel. And then once I find something or I have a piece of music that's like, you know, moving me and stuff, and then I decide, okay, what am I going to write about? What am I going to convey here? You know, how, and a lot of people come, they ask me, especially women, they ask me, you know, are you as romantic as your music is? Are you that person? And you know, and some things it's about, you know.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Are you back?
Okay. I'm back. I'm so sorry for that. My switchboard is totally flooded.
Ah, that's cool.
Totally flooded with calls. I apologize for that, Howard and Tony, and to all of my listeners. I thoroughly apologize. I think, like I said, this switchboard is lit up like Times Square at New Year's Eve.
It's okay. He was just answering a question about his writing process and what comes to him. So if you can go ahead and finish that up, Howard.
Yeah, and like I said, it's you know, it's about, you know, like I said, some people, you know, they ask me if that's how I am. And some things is the way that I am, you know, is the way that I am. And some things are things that I observe, you know what I mean, in other people's relationships or just in the world or whatever. And some things are the way I wish I was. You know, some things are how I wish I was. I wish I was that way. I wish I could be, you know, that romantic or whatever, or, you know, but... You know, a lot of it, like I said, is about really being, as a writer, it's about being honest. You know, I think honesty is the most important thing, especially in the type of music that I do. It's very important to be honest, to be, you know, as transparent as possible. And I think that's where I kind of excel, if you want to say, in my writing and stuff. And I think that's why people really kind of relate to it, because it's coming from an honest place. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, flamboyant with it or whatever. I'm just trying to put it out there and like say, hey, this is how I feel. And I don't believe that it's important for me to take you into the bedroom, you know what I'm saying, and tell you how you're supposed to, you know, make love to your woman or something like that. You know, it's not about that. I mean, we're grown-ups. We're supposed to know. We're supposed to know that. You know, but some cats have a hard time getting to that point. You know what I'm saying? Some cats have a hard time getting to that bedroom. So, you know, that's where I come in, where it's like, hey, you know, let's set up this romantic scenario here. And see if you can take it forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you know you're responsible for quite a few children being born. So.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go back to the lines. We got to clear some of these lines off this switchboard so we won't have another repeat of that. So I'm going to go ahead and bring area code 757. You're on the line.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Tony. Hi, Howard. I'm glad you guys are back.
Good. We're glad we're back, too.
I'm speaking from work, so I'm going to be very brief. This is Lady Serenity from Newport News. Kathy, I love your show. You and Tony do an excellent job.
Thank you.
Howard, oh, my gosh. I am just so pleased and excited to be able to talk to you. I followed you since Shalimar, and I'm just, you know, happy for you. Congratulations on your success with your music and with your family. You sound like such a laid-back person, so it shows me that you have not let success go to your head. You're still a realistic person, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to ask you, though, since you've been so blessed with your music, do you feel like this is your life's purpose, and if so, why?
Well, you know, that's funny that you asked that because, you know, I was actually just talking to somebody about that the other day, and this is all I've ever done. You know, I've sung since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
Started out in the church, you know, of course. We had a gospel group called the Hewitt Singers. It was myself and my sisters used to do background, and we had a band. We had a bass player, guitar player, drummer. An organ player. We were cold blooded. We were really cool. And my mom was a professional gospel promoter in the Akron, Cleveland area. So once we put the band, the group together, of course, nepotism was alive and well in our family. So we opened up all her shows that she would bring in. So we even from her shows, we opened up shows for, like, you know, James Cleveland, Albertina Walker and the Caravan.
Mm, wow.
You know, Pilgrim Jubilees, Five Blind Boys, Alabama, Ballinaires, everybody, Soul Stirs, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on to, you know, do the Chitlin Circuit, the Gospel Chitlin Circuit up and down the East Coast, Midwest, and up through Canada and stuff like that. And then I started, you know, when I was 15 years old, I started into the devil's music, as they say, you know. But then I started into the R&B situation. I knew what I wanted to do even back then. I knew that this is what I wanted to do because, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, seeing the emotion, I mean, feeling like, you know, I mean, you know, you can, music is such a powerful thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it can change the mood of a situation instantly. And to be able to be a part of that whole type of thing. I mean, even when I was 10, 11 years old, my mom would tell me, she says, you know, when I'm out there singing and she said, you see one of those sisters, you know, start rocking and crying, and you go and sing to her, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to see how you could, you know, affect people and how that whole, you know, just by a note, you know, you can affect somebody. And it's, you know, and I knew that this was always, you know, my purpose. I had one 9-to-5 in my life, and when I was 19, when I first got out to California, I was like 19, almost 20 years old, and I had to get a job because I touched down to LAX. I had like $34 in my pocket, so, you know, and I got a job at this department store. It's closed down now. It used to be on Fairfax and Wilshire, called Orbox, you know. And
I remember Orbox.
Yeah, Orbox, and I worked in the women's shoe department. And Orbox, at 19, 20 years old, I had a ball. I had a great time. And
had a big throw too, didn't you?
I sold a lot of shoes, you know. But I did that. I did that for about 6, 7, 8 months or so. And then, you know, the group that I had put together, this show group, this group before Shalimar, we eventually went, you know, overseas and stayed overseas about a year and a half or so. But I've always known that this is what I wanted to do. And so I'm one of those rare situations where, you know, I knew what my purpose was really early in life.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, good for you. Congratulations. You are a blessing. And it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you, Kathy and Tony.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to go ahead and go to area code 757 again. Area code 757, you're on the line. Can you hear me?
757, that's the Virginia area. That's my wife's people are from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, 757?
That's still me, Kathy.
Lady Serenity, is that still you?
Yeah, that's still me.
Okay, sweetie. All right.
Okay,
just
bye-bye.
Want to be here. Okay, we're going to go to area code 832. Area code 832, can you hear us?
Yeah, Kathy. Hey, yeah, it's me, Cheryl. How you doing? Cheryl Donovan on the line.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. I want to thank you guys so much for inviting me, and I just want to echo the same thing that everyone else has said. Howard, your music is so wonderful, and it still resonates even today, and I wish that the music that was being put out now was as good as some of that music that we heard before. But I guess my question is to you, I know that you've done a gospel compilation entitled The Journey, and I really enjoyed that, and I wanted to ask you, what was the main focus of that particular project for you? And I've also read that one of the things that you strive to do is keep it biblically correct. So could you talk about how you go about making sure that what you put into that particular compilation was biblically correct?
Well, you know, the reason why I did The Journey, you know, even before I left Shalimar, I remember praying, and I said, you know, I promised the Lord that I would honor him on every, when I was by myself, when I was solo, that I would honor him on every project that I do and every project I ever do. And I would ever do, rather. And the first solo project was I Commit to Love project, and that had, that started out with Say Amen. So every album since then, and every album that I ever will do will always have an inspirational song on it. But The Journey was something that, you know, I mean, I was avoiding The Journey for a long time. I call it my Jonah syndrome. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, I just kind of ran away from it for a long time. But the Lord always has a way of bringing you back to what you're supposed to do, you know. And and so, like, you know, I think it was just really it was time to do that project with all the other, you know, inspirational songs on all the other projects and stuff. I just wanted to do one complete project honoring God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. And when I say I wanted to keep it biblically correct, I was particularly, I think, talking about the one specific song on there called Angel. You know, and a lot of times as we were writing that, Monty Seward and I wrote that song together. Monty and I wrote, first song we ever wrote together was Say Amen. And we've written hundreds of songs since then. But we worked together really closely on the Journey project. And when we were writing Angel, you know, it's like, a lot of times, you know, especially as far as that subject is concerned, we kind of put angels in places that they're not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We put angels in a place where only Christ is supposed to be. You know, whereas, you know, we have to realize that angels are messengers from God. They're you know, like his warriors, and they're, you know, dispensed to do, you know, the battle for us, to comfort us, and the whole thing, and like, you know, and so we have to make sure that we keep things in perspective. So in writing that song, there was actually about two or three different versions of that song, and the one that finally made it to the project was the one that I felt was, you know, very biblically correct as far as that's concerned. I think that's what I basically kind of was alluding to you know, when I made that statement for that project on the journey. The journey I loved doing that project. It was such a once I got into it, I wish I would have done it even sooner. But you know, like I said, sometimes you have to you know, wait until, you know, it's time to do a lot of stuff. So, you know.
Okay. Well, I, for one, thank you so much for doing that particular project. It was really, really great. And I thank you for being on with us today and allowing us the opportunity to speak with you. And I look forward to hearing more great things from you in the future. Thank you so much.
Do you have the new project, the If Only project?
No, I have not gotten that one yet. But now that I know about it, I'll be sure to go out and get it.
Yeah, there's a current CD that's out now. It's been out about a year now, a little less than a year, called If Only. And it also has, you know, just like everything else, it has an inspirational song on it. And but it's an R&B album, you know, R&B project with my regular stuff on there. So, you know, just everybody that's listening, there is a new project that's out there. And you can pick it up. You can get it on the internet. You can get it, you know, some of the stores. Sometimes, like, retail is a different kind of face now out there, especially since Tower Records closed up and stuff. Retail is like a scary place, but you know, there's so many different places that you can get it now. So check it out. It's called If Only, and it's out there now.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go to area code 614. Area code 614, you on the line? Area code 614, are you there?
They may be just listening in and not want to talk, so we do have quite a few of those folks that do that.
Okay.
Area code 614, going once, twice?
Three times. Once, twice, three times.
Okay. It looks like area code 757 again. Area code 757, can you hear us?
Wow, 757 is like out there, boy. There's a bunch of them.
All right, you're right. It is a bunch of them. Okay. Area code 209, can you hear us? Area code 209?
Yes, I can. This is Linda calling from California. How are you?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing great. Howard, just love your music. I was sitting here listening to the show, and I said I wasn't going to call in, and then I heard Wendy, and I was like, wait a minute, he got to know there was somebody in California growing up listening to him. I was like, that was my man, so I just have to call in. No, you can't claim my man, not on the internet, no. But I just wanted to call in just real quick to say I appreciate your music. I appreciate everything that you've done, especially your Journey project. That was wonderful. And just want you to know I still love you. And if you get divorced, you can look me up.
I look you up. Well, thank you very
funny.
Much.
Amen. And I do have one question, if you can. Can you just sing something for us a little bit? I just want to hear your voice over the line, live and in person.
Oh, man. See, I'm wondering when that was going to come, right?
Yeah. Howard, I tried to warn you.
What do you want to hear?
I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think what would I want to hear. You know, anything. I mean, you can just sing Happy Birthday. My birthday about to come up, so you can just say Happy Birthday to me,
your birthday.
And I'll be happy birthday.
Okay, your name again is what? Your name again?
Linda.
Linda. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So your birthday's coming, so we say, Happy birthday to you, baby. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Linda. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Linda, are you okay?
I'm wonderful. Anyway, I'm ready. I can go on with life now. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Linda.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No, everybody's going to have a birthday.
I'm trying to compose myself. Okay, what am I doing, Tony? Let me see.
Well, let's you get yourself together. Let's go ahead and ask another question real quick. Now, Howard, who are some of the artists that, because we've had a conversation about how new school and old school and how things are right now, but there are some young guys that are out there right now who are trying to bring that flavor back. Who are some of the folks that you look at right now that are doing R&B justice?
I love what John Legend is doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
John Legend's stuff is very cool. Jaheim is,
mm-hmm.
I like his stuff. Always dug Maxwell. I don't know what happened to Maxwell. I know he did the BET thing and people dug it, but you know, I'm waiting for something else to come out because I always loved what he did with, especially with Urban Hang, whatever it was, Sweet Hang, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You know, it's not very many guys, you know, which is really weird because it's mostly, you know, like female artists, you know, that are,
right.
that are out there doing their thing. And you know, I mean, I know this is more hip-hop, but it is R&B. Hip-hop, again, replaced by is R&B to me, a lot of it anyway. You know, but, you know, like Mary J., the stuff that she's doing right now. You know, I'm loving what she's doing. I've always dug some, you know, certain things of hers through the years, like 411 when she first came out and
right.
a couple other things. But it wasn't she, you know, I respected what she did, but it wasn't like I would run out and grab and get a project. But these last two projects of hers, Growing Pains, you know, the last one was like. Was incredible, and the one before that, I forget the name of the project, but you know she has some great stuff on there, and she's really, to me, she's coming out, she's finally coming out into her own as an artist, and I mean I'll even go as far as like Mariah Carey. I mean, I've always respected and loved Mariah's instrument. You know, her voice and her octave, her ability of the multi-octave situation. But again, it wasn't until this Mimi project, you know, came out that it was something that I just really would run out and get or jump on the internet and buy it and download it. And you know, but the Mimi project was incredible to me. You know, it was incredible to me. And I think now, finally, you know, we are kind of getting back to, you know, real singing, real, you know, people, they're really singing. And you know, even on the young tip, when, you know, who this kid, Chris Brown.
Right.
You know, Chris is singing. He's singing. I mean, he's still got to develop some, you know, but he's only 18, 19 years old. So he's got a long time to develop. So, but he is singing. He's putting forth that effort and that talent that he has. He has a great voice, and you know, and he's putting that forth, and he's singing. You know, and that's important. You have like Neo. I love his stuff. You know, Neo's cool. So there's a lot of artists that are coming out now. Young artists that are coming out now that I think are really giving R&B its respect.
Right,
and
having a good voice, it really,
yeah,
really does. What
good,
do you think about Eric Benet?
Eric's great. I love Eric. In fact, Eric and I just talked the other day. We may try and do something together, actually. Not vocal, not recording-wise, but on the road situation. But I just talked to him the other day. I like Eric's stuff. I haven't heard the new one yet, the new album yet. He let me hear. We actually ended up at the airport together a couple months ago, waiting on different flights, and he let me hear something that he was working on. But the only thing that I really have like on my computer is the Hurricane project.
Okay. Okay.
And
I think he's definitely not a Howard Hewitt, but
he's probably as close as I could possibly say, maybe, maybe not. You know, he's about as close as I have seen mm-hmm. of this new generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's been around for a while. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, that's true. He has.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. So your listeners, that's probably, I'll throw this out to them, you know, because maybe they can help me out, because some people had contacted me about trying to put together three male artists to go out on the road together, and myself, and I thought about Eric Benet, and one more. I don't know. Maybe your listeners can throw some ideas out there that may be kind of cool. So, but I think Eric and I, you know, would be really cool to and one more.
Well, you know, and you mentioned, and I'll put it in as a broadcaster, and what folks talk about and requests that we get all the time. But I think you and Eric on a tour. You mentioned Maxwell. I know he is working on a new project and trying to do something to come out. So that would be a great, great tour.
That would be off the chain there. But I don't know what Maxwell is going to do. You know, from this point. You know.
Now, guys, if y'all don't mind, we're kind of running down on time. So I want to go ahead and bring area code 614 on the line, because this is a very dear friend of mine. Area code 614, can you hear us, Sandy?
I can. Can you all hear me?
Great. Yes, we can.
Yay. Hi. How are you? I'm all excited. Like, oh, my God, it's a Tyler Hewitt, like from Salamar. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Where's 614? St. Louis, I think? Where is that?
No, sir. It's Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. What's
mm-hmm.
St. Louis? St. Louis is 6-something.
Oh, I don't know.
So Columbus, Ohio, like my home state.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Ohio produces a lot of good things. What, 7 presidents, the hard players, that, yep, I mean, just so many. But I called because Tony almost alluded to my question. I'm like, oh, man, I'm having a question now. But my question to you is, you know, even a new and old artist, you know, sometimes when we're going through maybe heavy, hard times in our lives, there's like, for me, music is like, I have my own soundtrack to life. Music is like the soundtrack to our lives. When you're going through maybe a hard time, you know, maybe you're on the road or you hit a bump in the road, what song do you go to and listen and it uplifts you? Whether it be, you know, gospel or secular, what is that?
You know, it's really funny because I've listened to music. All of us have different ways of music, you know, reasons and ways that we listen to music and throughout our lives. And I've always listened to music from a really clinical point of view, you know what I'm saying? And it's not really been, for me anyway, a time when, like, through the years, there have been songs that have like really hit me, and like, okay, for instance, that song, Donnie McClurkin song, you know,
mm-hmm.
We Fall Down.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the name of it? We Fall Down.
Yeah, We Fall Down. No, we get up. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I heard that, when I first heard Donnie do that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it had me in tears. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, that type of thing. I mean, but it's so far and few between, those type of things for me, because even when I was a kid, I remember when I was first heard Sly Stone, the album,
mm-hmm.
A Riot Going On,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like 14 or somewhere around there, and my band, the band that I had when I was in Ohio, we all were piled in this car at lunchtime in our school parking lot, and somebody brought the 8-track of A Riot Going On. And it's almost
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you knew where you were when Martin Luther King got shot. You knew where you were when you know, opportunity or certain things that happened in your life, that was one of those times in my life. I knew where I was when I heard a riot going on, but because of the type of music, it changed the way that it changed the way that we looked at music, you know, and with the bass, the thumping and the plucking and all that kind of stuff. And it changed the way that we kind of like, you know, viewed our thing that we were doing. And so I always looked at music in a clinical way, more than in a, you know, a way where like, okay, what can I listen to lift me up? Because what I do, I tell you, what I do when I want to feel lifted up and I want to, I just open up my mouth and I start singing. I don't care what it is, and I just sing, even if it's just humming or you know, just a little melody or whatever. You know, I just start singing, and that lifts me out of more than if there was a song or whatever or a recording or something. And because music is almost it's my work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's my work. So, and I've always looked at it, like I said before, and it's been my work since I was 10, 11 years old. So, you know, that's when I want to get lifted up, I just, hey. That makes me feel good.
Well, me too. That made me feel good too. Thank you very much.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I hope that answers your question.
And you know, Howard, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say this because I know everybody in the chat room keeps saying it. They keep asking me, and I'm just going, sorry, I'm just going to have to go ahead and say it. And I'm sure, Sandy, you're going to say, yes, I want that too. Can you please just go ahead and hit a couple of notes of Say Amen?
Say Amen.
Yes, please.
I know Sandy wants to hear it too.
Right.
Yes, I do.
I love
because we need that uplifting.
Yeah, I love singing that song. It's like, it says, it's time to say goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. Oh, but before we go, there's something I've got to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where our strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can heal my cry. I want to thank you, God, for giving me one more chance to raise my voice and sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my prayer. I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. He gave us his love. He gave us his son. Amen. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ooh, all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. And, you know, Howard, I have to share this with you. I did mornings with the old TLC years ago here in Indianapolis, and that was the song that I played for years when I ended my show. It was my signature farewell song. And for so long, so many people would call me and ask me what the song was, who the artist was. And, of course, you know, working at a secular station and playing that song, it was my message, and it spoke so very well that I don't care what you're going through or what you're dealing with in your life, this is how you should look at life. And so many people appreciated that, that it became the song that they wanted to hear even when I started my show.
Yeah,
so, I mean, so so it's a great song.
Say Amen is like, out of all the songs that I've ever done, you know, for, even as far as like I'm For Real, For Loving You, everything, Say Amen is the most requested, most played song in my career. It is. I mean, yeah, on the R&B side, the secular side, which I have my whole thing about secular, whatever, and the gospel side, you know, it's I mean, people, to me, I always say it's like the ultimate praise song, you know.
Right.
It's the praise song, and just breaking it down, I want to thank you, God, for giving me one more chance, you know, to raise my voice and sing your praise. And, I mean, so many people, you know, I end every show that I do with Say Amen. I don't care if I'm doing a club, a theater, an arena, whatever. You know, I mean, I can be in a club, 500, 600, 700 seat club, and you know, people in there getting their drink on, trying to hit on women or whatever, and they still want it. They want to hear Say Amen. You know, and I end the song, I end the show with Say Amen, and by the time the end of the song is people are up, they're up on their feet, you know, and they're praising the Lord, and you know, because that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about.
That's exactly right, because there's lots of things going on in people's lives, and that song just really reminds us of where our blessings come from. You know, we can't put our trust in man. We can't put our trust in anybody that's immortal. We have to look to God, and we have to know who we are and whose we are. And when you hear that song and the passion and the love and the spirituality that you put in that song, it tells us that.
No,
that's why everybody requests it.
Yeah, there were some, you know, a lot of people always have their, you know, they say, well, what was going on in your life, you know, at that time? And it was, you know, at the time that I wrote it, it was like, I mean, I knew I wanted to, because like I said earlier in the interview, before I even left the group, I prayed. I said, Lord, when I'm by myself, when I'm responsible for what I say, I will honor you in every project that I do. And then I remember when I first left the group, when it was time to do the solo album, I was so excited, you know, and I called, there was a meeting called with the new record company and the new management company that I had hired, you know, and so I got to the meeting and I went in there and I shook everybody's hands and I sat down and I said, you know, I said, well, before we get started, I said, first thing I want to say is that I want to do a song to the Lord on this album, you know, and I mean, it was like silence. You know, like you can hear a pin drop, because mind you, this was like 1985, somewhere around there. Nobody was doing anything like that. The only artist that was doing anything close to that was Denise Williams, was Niecy. And she would do a gospel album, and then she'd do an R&B album, right?
Right.
But I was talking about putting it all together. I'm talking about on one project here, you know. And so, like, you know, finally this one cat, you know, this one guy got enough nerve to start talking. He says, well, you know, Howard, you know, we want to take your career in the sex symbol direction, and that type of material might not be conducive to that direction. And then this other guy starts talking, and this other guy, finally everybody's kind of putting in their thing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening and stuff, and I let them finish. And I said, when they got done, I said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I said, and I want you to know, I understand completely what you're saying, you know. I said, but maybe I just approached this the wrong way. Let me approach it like this. I'm going to do a song to the Lord on this album.
Yeah, right,
you know?
That's right.
I said, because my promise to the Lord is way more important to me than what your idea of what direction my career should go in. And I said, without him, there would be no career. So we got to keep everything in perspective. I said, so, you know, I'm going to do a song to the Lord on the album. Now we can talk about everything else that we need to talk about. And And of course, once we did, when Monty and I wrote Say Amen and then, you know, put it out there on the, and it got out there, and then it just kind of went through the roof, especially after the Robert Townsend HBO special. You know, that's what really kind of pushed that thing into a whole nother stratosphere type thing. And mm-hmm. and after that, of course, you know, it was everybody's idea then. Record company, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, so, but you know, I mean, it's like really that song has Donnie Simpson in the Washington D.C. area. He used to have he started also closing his show with that song. So you know.
Now we're coming up on the last 8 minutes, so I'm gonna go ahead and just try to get one more caller on the line so that you know I there were so many I wasn't able to get to. Area code 718. You're on the line. Okay.
All right.
Okay, caller, are you on the line? Can you hear us?
Man, we've done 90 minutes already, Kathy, or an hour or what?
Oh, Howard, I told you it was going to go that long. Yeah, yeah, we are 8 minutes away from the full 90 minutes, and
wow.
I know some of these callers, we can't hear them on the line because the switchboard is absolutely jam-packed. I really wanted to try to get as many people as area code 718. Can you hear us? Okay, area code 832. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so excited. I want to first thank you, Kathy and Tony, for a great show. I appreciate Howard. Howard, I love your music. I just want to ask a quick question. How would you like to be remembered? What legacy do you want to leave behind?
That's a good question. I think it's as far as my music is concerned, I would like for it to be remembered as music with a lot of integrity to it. You know what I'm saying? And transparency. You know, and it's something that I think is really has always been really important to me to be able to. You know, like I said earlier, I'm not into the whole graphic type of situation, and definitely not into the shock music, as they say, or whatever. It's about life. You know, it's about romantic. You know, romance is about love between man and woman. It's about love between man and God, and relationships and stuff like that. But it's also very important to maintain your integrity. And I think that's what I would want to be mainly remembered by, as far as my music is concerned, that I maintained my integrity in what I did.
That's beautiful.
It is.
That's beautiful.
I absolutely agree.
Thank you.
I agree 100% with that.
Thank you.
Now, I want to ask this question before we end the show. How are projects that you have coming up? Because so many of the fans want to know, you know, what kind of stuff they have to look forward to.
Well, like I said earlier, there's a new project that's out now. I call it new because, you know, it's the first R&B album I've had out in a long time. It's called If Only, and there's a lot of great stuff on there and continuing, you know, what I've always done. And right now I'm in the midst, which I'm on a serious, serious deadline to finally finish a Christmas album that hopefully, if I can get everything done, hopefully it'll be out this Christmas season. And that's what I'm basically, you know, putting together now. I'm on a, like I said, a serious deadline. Hopefully I can, with my schedule, you know, I'm traveling all the time. I'm on the road a lot. So, you know, we'll put that together. And also, I mean, you know, you can go to, there's MySpace pages, MySpace.com/HowardHewitt, and you got to spell it H-E-W-E-T-T, not I-T-T. They've been trying to get me to spell it I-T-T since kindergarten, but I'm holding up, and I'm not gonna give in. It's H-E-W-E-T-T. And there's a MySpace.com/HowardHewitt page, as well as a Howard Hewitt fan page. And then there's also the howardhewitt.com, which at this point I'm kind of revamping. The company and I are kind of revamping some things. So if you go to howardhewitt.com and it's kind of limited, don't get frustrated because it'll be back on point pretty soon. But,
and you guys can always go to my website too, www.cholloway.com, because I've got links all over the place on my website to all of Howard's contact information for his site, MySpace, and everything.
Yeah. So that's the stuff. And then, like I said, I'm on the road all the time. On a lot of those websites, you'll see a calendar, and it'll let you know when I'm coming into your area or something. That's it. I'm just having a good time. I'm piecing this stuff together and living this life. You know, this life is, like I always say, life is one of the most beautiful gifts that God has ever given us, and it's meant for us to live it. I mean, live it to the fullest with all our mistakes, all our shortcomings, all of our, I'll fall, people always say, oh, you're really religious. Well, I don't, especially since say amen, but I'm not really religious. I don't really believe in religion. I believe in a relationship, between God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And by no means am I a saint. I mean, I trip up and I fall flat on my face and skid down the sidewalk just like everybody else. But one thing that I've learned is that the most important thing is to pick yourself up and brush yourself off and not let the enemy point that guilt finger at you. And brush yourself off and look at and say, Lord, hey, here I am, and like it says, come to me as you are. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the whole deal is for me.
I just want to say thank you, Bishop. No.
No.
I know. You sound like my mom. My mom always said, you're going to be a preacher.
Howard? Your mom was right in a way, because there are lots of different ways to get a message across. Preaching is one of them. And trust me, you have gotten a lot of very inspirational messages, and you have changed and touched many lives throughout your career. You can believe me on that.
To me, that's the most important thing. On the journey, on the project, The Journey, there's the title track on there, The Journey, on that album. It talks about that whole thing. It talks about, who have you touched in your life, and who have you allowed to touch you,
Right.
Because, I mean, there's one thing to stand up in this place and you're touching all these people, but sometimes some people need to know that you can be touched also. So.
And we're coming up on our last 60 seconds, believe it or not, Howard. And, sweetheart, I love you so much.
Yeah,
you are such a special person in my life. And I'm going to ask you to take us out these last 40 seconds. I'm going to ask you to take us out with your gorgeous, beautiful, smooth, silky voice and just inspire us. Whatever you want to give us.
All right, go back to... Okay, this is a new thing from the new album. It's called Enough. It says, it's really crazy how this whole thing went down. One day we're happy, the next we turn around and things have changed. Don't know why, they just changed. Now we could throw up our hands and walk away, or take this window of opportunity and ask questions. The questions. Was I there enough? Did we share enough? Were the times when we made love and then chilled in the tub enough? Is it fair enough to say that in the end, it really wasn't real enough? Did we feel enough? Is our commitment to honesty enough to say that enough is enough?
Thank you so much, sweetheart. And we got 2 seconds left. Thank you so much, Howard.
Thank you.